you know, I might do a scene at a party or something that's really intense, I will come out of it, I will sit down in a comfortable area, and then I'll just have like all these people coming up to try to talk to me. And it's like, I'm so sorry, but I don't have the mental space to talk to you right now.
Welcome to the Daddy Dom Podcast, providing Daddy Dom insights and perspectives to the DDLG and DS relationship, connection, and interactions through conversation and spicy audios. Join me as I continue this journey to be the best Daddy Dom for you. And welcome to part two of my interview with submissive Anya. Anya is from Down Under. At the tender age of 23, she has had an illustrious exploration on her journey of becoming a sub, the types of sub that she wants to be, the types of kinks that she likes to get involved with and the ones that she doesn't. And more importantly with that, the connection that she has been finding with the different DOMs that she has experienced, the different relationships of those DOMs that she has had, and how that has connected her with her own subism. Is that a word? Subism? Let's make it a word. Subism. In this episode, we're going to touch on subspace, what she has learned about subspace, what her requirements are, what her needs are before a scene, during a scene, and subspace drop after a scene. The requirements that she has and the different types of experiences she's had with DOMs who have had either more experience or less experience on their own journeys. And by that, I mean how important it is to have the attentiveness and the responsibility that it takes to care for a sub within a scene and within a relationship itself. As always, throughout the conversation, I give my perspective as well. And I think that's one of the best things about this interview that I had with Anya, is that we were able to give each of our perspectives from a DOM's point of view and from a sub's point of view, and our experiences that we've had throughout our lifetime. I've had a few more than her, but I think she's catching up quite quickly within the very short period of time that she has been diving into the whole sub-dom space. So I hope you enjoy part two of this four-part series. You can find the entire episode, the entire interview, I should say, on my Patreon page. It's about an hour and 45 minutes. But for the sake of the podcast, I broke it down into four equal parts. So we have little bite sizes again that we can take away. So I won't blabber on too much longer with this opening monologue. And I invite you to come and listen to my interview with Anya and our conversation and perspectives thereof. Welcome to the Daddy Dom Podcast.
You know, Ben, I'm just trying to find someone like you in my area. And it's proving really difficult, but I think I'm getting there.
I set the bar high, did I?
Yeah, you did. And I'm just with each one, I'm like, yeah, you're not quite on Ben's level. It has to go up.
Oh my God, you're making me blush. So here's a question for you: do Daddy Doms have to fit the persona of being older to be a Daddy Dom?
I think for me personally, yes. I'm yet to meet someone that is my age or even younger. I'm 23, by the way. My age or younger that fits within what I'm looking for. You know, that's not to say that I discount that those sorts of DOMs exist, because they do, but I think for me, mentally as a submissive, a lot of it is to do with the power dynamic, and a lot of that power dynamic comes with age and life experience. So when I'm with someone who is older than me, I think it does something to me mentally, in the sense that I sort of understand that, okay, this person has been around longer than me. They've had a lot of life experience that maybe I haven't had. And that allows me to feel more secure that they can guide me in the right way. Again, I'm not discounting the young Doms because there's a lot of talent there and there are people who will fit well with younger Doms. But yeah, my personal preference is has always been older men in particular. If I'm, you know, dating men at the time. Yeah, so it's very particular. Like I've really honed in on that niche, and I can say that every serious partner I've had since I met you and was in that long-term relationship, they've just gotten progressively older. So I'm not sure where it ends. But yeah, and might I add, that comes with its own challenges because sometimes there's too much difference there that it doesn't work.
I think you have to have an older Dom that is young at heart. And
yes,
I think that's part of my part of my problem, you know, positive or negative, is that I'm very juvenile. And I can definitely relate to a younger heart or a younger disposition, because that's the way I feel all the time. I'm very excitable. I'm very, inappropriate sexually and whatever, with jokes and things like that. But I like to have fun. I like to have a very light space and whatnot like that. And I do find that a lot of the Doms that I've come across that are not like me, a little bit more strict, a little bit more master, a little bit more sir, can't relate to a DDLG type dynamic because they're not young at heart.
Yeah, I think what you've just said is perfect. I mean, it really is being young at heart, because I mean, for a submissive like myself, obviously I'm young and, you know, I want someone that in my relationship will be able to relate on music and modern culture and news and things like that. But who I know will also be stern and serious and mature when I need them to be. So it's a fine balance. And I think what you've just said sums it up perfectly well.
You're right. Because so coming from my perspective is that I love exploring. I love adventure. I love, you know, new things and whatnot. And even if I've done those things, having someone along that I can now re-experience those things through their experience is just as exciting as experiencing it myself for the first time. And I think with a DDLG relationship, and that's what I love about it, is that I can bring someone into that and show them the ropes and see how they like it and see how their eyes glitter and see the excitement and whatnot. And again, for me, being a daddy Dom, being a pleasure Dom, you know, finding the excitement in my sub just, you know, puts the fire in my ass. I just love it. I just love it so much. It's so amazing.
Yeah, it's the best feeling. And I mean, to take it back to the age thing, like I've never, you know, gotten out of a relationship and then thought, okay, it's time to look for someone older. That's never been the case. It just so happens that, you know, the person that I get along with really well turns out to be a bit older than the last person that I was with. And to that as well, you know, there's been some older people that I've been with who were entirely too immature for me, or maybe didn't have that emotional maturity that I was after to fulfill that sort of DS dynamic or the DDLG dynamic. So I think it takes a specific kind of person, and when you find what you like, that's sort of what you're looking for, and you'll stick to that when you find it.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, is that you, again, have to taste all those candies to find out which one you like. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important. And again, we go back to it, you have to go back to the beginning of finding your own confidence to say, I don't like that taste, or mm-hmm. I do love that taste, you know, and that sort of thing. One of the things I wanted to talk about with you is that in a DS sexually charged scene, have you ever entered subspace where you just were just so calm, relaxed, that you were just, you know, it felt you were in control so well that you entered a subspace type of realm?
I definitely have, and I think it's one of the best feelings in the world. I mean, I don't do any sort of drugs or anything, but that's what I imagine it feels like. it just puts you in such a state of euphoria naturally that it always boggles my mind that the human brain can make you feel that way. It's interesting because I've been put into subspace sometimes through very simple things. When I was first starting out in the scene, I would go into subspace pretty easily, and that would happen not even necessarily with, you know, daddy doms or people that I was in relationships with. Sometimes it would happen if I was getting tired in a public space or a party or somewhere where there was a lot of people watching me and it was a charged environment. I would go into that space, and I think it's a space that I can mentally sort of put myself in. It's there are definitely varying degrees. Sometimes you're in that space pretty heavily, and it's hard to get out, and you need the person that is taking care of you to really understand how to safely get you out of that. And sometimes it's, you know, not as strong of a subspace, I guess. And I hope people will understand what I'm saying with that, but there's just varying degrees. So I can go into it sometimes with simple things, and it usually helps me cope with a little bit of anxiety. And other times I've just so heavily gotten into the role that I don't even realize how deeply I've submitted to the situation. And it's a really beautiful feeling in the moment, and especially when you come out of it, when you can recognize how truly confident and in control you were to give up your entire self to someone. I think it's a really beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And again, from my perspective, I remember the first time I was with a submissive and they went into subspace. I was like, what the fuck? I have no tools in my toolbox to deal with. I don't know what to do. And It was a scary moment for me. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that's a challenge for doms and daddy doms, is to figure out for that individual person how to do the aftercare and bring them back to, you know, back to a safe, comfortable place outside of the subspace that they've been in. And that is truly a challenge for doms, because there's a few basic things you can do across the board that, you know, work for your most subs. Mm-hmm. But there are some nuances to that, you know, are required, that are, you know, specific to that sub. And I think that is a challenge for any dom, is figuring out, you know, that person, you know, and that, what is that? Did you have a dom that knew when you were in subspace, knew how to handle your subspace? And how did you manage it? And was your dom helpful?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've had doms that had no idea that I was in subspace when I was, and DOMs that absolutely understood when I was in that space and how to get me out of it. I think it is a really scary thing. It's a scary thing for the sub, and it's a very scary thing for the DOM, because you have a huge responsibility to make sure that nothing goes wrong in that transition from subspace to, you know, back to reality. And scientifically, we know that the firing of these receptors that cause this huge dopamine rush, of course, that has to come down at some point. It's actually a scientifically proven thing. So it's really important that people understand that it's not just a, oh yeah, I'm in subspace, like I'm feeling really submissive. That's not what it is. It's actually a physical feeling.
It is. It's very physiological, which is why you know, as a DOM, you have to have some sort of, you know, water, you know, you have to hydrate, you have to have some sort of carbohydrates like candy or chocolate around, you have to, because it's a very physiological response to a very emotional thing that you've done. And you have to have those things on hand in order to help the body to relax, in order for the mind to relax as well, or else it's just going to go terribly wrong.
Exactly right. I think the best thing that DOMs and subs can do when they know they're going to be entering into a pretty heavy scene that could cause that to happen is just communicate as honestly as you can. I've always been very communicative with my DOMs, very open. So the right DOM will ask you what you need, and you have to be really honest with that. So I usually say, look, we're about to do something that's really intense for me. Afterwards, I need you to be really physically close to me. So whether that be a cuddle or a spoon or whatever, I need some cold water with ice and I need some chocolate. And I need you to caress my hair and tell me that I'm a good girl and how much of a good job I did. So,
absolutely.
You know, yeah, so you have to be really specific with what you want, because DOMs are great, but they are not mind readers, and we cannot expect them to read our minds. So it's really important before you get into that space to tell them all the details of what exactly you need. And one thing that I've really valued is DOMs that have always checked in on me for days afterwards. So the next morning, a couple days later, because the sub drop that you can get from being in that space can be really heavy. So if it's a Sunday night and we've just done this crazy scene and I have to go to work tomorrow, I might have a really tough time at work because I have to snap out of what just happened and get on with day-to-day tasks. And I think it's really important to show that care afterwards. So I've always had messages, you know, from even if I go to a party and I do a simple shibari tie, I'll have the rigger will message me the next day and say, hey, how are you feeling? Are you sore? You know, how's your mental space? Because that in itself is a really charged environment, let alone, you know, a private DDLG or whatever it might be where you're getting into a role that's really consuming. So I think the most important thing is really honest communication and checking in afterwards. You know, it doesn't take much to just make sure that the person is okay.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I can totally relate to sub drop, and I'll tell you why. Is that in my younger days, you know, I was a cross country skier at a very high level. Mm-hmm. And after doing, you know, 75 to 100 kilometer marathon, you know, you're wrecked. You're done. Yeah. You know, you're done mentally, physically, emotionally. You've put everything you've had into that. And I was, you know, just a, a zombie for like 4 or 5 days afterwards. Just like, what the hell just happened to me? Yeah. And when you're in subspace in a very, you know, intense scene, as you said, it's the same sort of thing, is that you're physically tense, emotionally there, you're just in that very intense situation, and the body has a hard time recovering from that mentally, emotionally, physically. It needs time. Yeah. And so having been in that situation, I think really helped me understand what that was for someone going through that experience in a sexual scene. Mm. Is that, oh yeah, I know exactly how you feel. And for a Dom to know what that feeling is, I think is also empowering for me, because I can relate and I know what that is, and I know what, you know, my sub needs after that.
Yeah, and I think it goes both ways as well. I mean, I've always been fond of a little bit of role swap, and sort of switching roles, especially with people who maybe haven't experienced things before. So, you know, perhaps trying out, if you're a sub, to be a dom for a night and vice versa. And I think what's also important is that we also talk about and acknowledge the dom space and dom drop, because not many people talk about that either, and that's a really real thing. I mean, it's not just subs that need to be taken care of, it's also the doms that need to be taken care of. I mean, you go into such a mental space as well, that, you know, maybe there are certain things that you need from a sub that they can offer to make that experience nice for you, you know, because, yeah, I don't think we talk about that enough either.
You're right. I don't think we do, because as a dom, you get into a very heightened level of attention. As I'm very focused on the task at hand, because I know that I have you in my hands, pardon the pun, but I do have you in my hands, and it is a huge responsibility. And even though we are both experiencing very heightened pleasure, I still have to walk that fine line between reality and the sexual experience that we're having. Mm-hmm. And coming down from that, having a sub thereafter who is only concerned about their well-being and wanting to be taken care of. I'm talking about a day afterwards, you know, not in the moment. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we also need that, you know, that spooning, you know, that I need you in my cuddle space. I might need time alone. Yeah. I did a podcast on being vulnerable. Sometimes I just need to, you know, get my shit in order, and I need my own space. I need my own time to breathe, relax, de-stress and whatnot. And I think a sub has to realize that, again, all doms have their own way of coming down from that, you know, experience. And, you know, for me, it's alone time. For me, it's just having that time to breathe. And in no way, shape, or form is it anything against or has to do with the sub. It's just me having to, oh, that was amazing. I need to regroup.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. I mean, I know personally there are times where generally my aftercare is pretty similar. But there are times where it changes, and it's okay for me to communicate that when I need to, you know. Sometimes I, as a sub, I just want to go and crawl in my little cocoon and, you know, no one touch me and no one talk to me for 20 minutes, you know. That has certainly happened to me many times. Or I need a quiet, peaceful space. I think one of the things that I've experienced a little bit in the past, which has always bothered me, is just, you know, I might do a scene at a party or something that's really intense. I will come out of it, I will sit down in a comfortable area, and then I'll just have like all these people coming up to try to talk to me. And it's like, I'm so sorry, but I don't have the mental space to talk to you right now. And I will answer your questions when I can, but I can't do it right now, you know? And I did have a dom once. I was in a relationship with, who watched me do a scene and then proceeded to ask me all these questions and, you know, did you have fun? Did you do this? Did you do that? In the immediate aftermath of that scene. And I was just so almost like in a drunk like state because of that euphoria that I could barely respond. And they actually got offended by my lack of response. And I had to be like, hang on a minute, you need to understand that this is the space I'm in right now and I cannot facilitate your conversation because
and that comes with experience. Yeah. You have a brand new dom. They want it. His intentions are good because he wants to make sure that you've had a good experience. But whoa, too soon.
Yeah.
Relax, calm down. Hold on to those reins, little boy. All good things come in time, and you have to give the breath of time to experience things and breathe through it. And I find so often that you know the young lads, you know, they're too excited, you know, they're you know, even though they want to do the right thing, sometimes they don't do the right thing. And I'll be honest, I've been there. I've been guy, you know, and I was like, is that fantastic? Oh my God, that was so good. And the sub is just like, fuck off for a moment.
Exactly.
And so that's what's really helped me become a better dom, is experiencing, you know, all the different types of subs that are out there and what their requirements are, what their needs, what their experience have been. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, again, with you moving through what kind of sub you are becoming and what you require in your in your life as a sub, you know, doms do the same thing. And you're right, you know, and I think that's what guides subs to maybe older or more experienced doms than because it's hard to have two people who are learning the thing at the same time, because it usually doesn't connect on a lot of different levels. And there's lots of missteps between you, which makes for a negative environment. Not to say that the person is bad, but it's just that you're not able to navigate each other because you just don't have the experience.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, it's as a sub, a lot of the times for me personally, not for everyone, but I want someone with experience who can lead me straight away, and who can understand what I need and how I need it to be.
And that truly is the dynamic. You know, that's the power dynamic of a dom and sub. A dom leads the sub. The sub wants to be led. And so I think it's only natural to have a more experienced dom than a more experienced sub.
Yeah, exactly right. Because I can't truly have that experience as I want it if the person is still learning. And again, there's nothing wrong with learning. We all need to learn. We all get to where we are in that way. But there are certain subs that, you know, want to go on that journey with their dom. They want to be involved in their learning, and that's a really great thing. They definitely shape some of the doms that we then later like to have around. So
that was my experience too.
Yeah.
You know, my first true sub dom sub relationship was exactly that, is that that person truly set the groundwork of who I became to be, you know, with God love her, you know, she handled all my misgivings and all my mistakes and all my failures. And you know, thankful to her that I was able to take, you know, two or three years out of that to kind of like think about, you know, all those experiences I had, both positive and negative, and kind of really kind of make them into my own. And sometimes, again, you just have to give yourself time. There's no rush.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Off topic. In your experience so far, tell me something positive or unexpected that has left you a lasting impression that you've carried into your other relationships, whether it be a scene or a moment or a period of time within a relationship or just an experience, you know, a one-off experience. Has there been anything that's been, you know, very positive or unexpected that has left a lasting impression upon you?
And we'll finish it off right there, and we'll have the next part on the next episode. I wanted to take away a few things on this. So, you know, we did touch on, you know, subspace, but also dom drop as well. You know, the doms have such a high level of responsibility and attentiveness and focus during a scene or certain interactions and whatnot, that sometimes, you know, that in itself, you know, needs some time to distress or just relax and to get back into, you know, your own zone and whatnot, because it is sometimes a very intense situation or intense scene that you have with your sub. So I think that's important to recognize as well. And I'm so glad that she did that. That really kind of warmed my heart. On the next episode, we're going to dive into the relationship side of a DS relationship, or a daddy dom and his little girl. And what it takes for that, the daily attentiveness, the interactions you have, the communication of the hard and soft limits, and the different levels of those hard and soft limits, what you'll do for your partner and what's just, you know, and something that you just can't get into. And again, finding someone who has similar kinks as you do, which I also believe that we both agree that is very important. So I hope you join us next episode as we dive into the whole relationship side of a DS relationship and, you know, DDLG relationships as well. And I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I'm certainly enjoying the ride as we go, and hope to do more interviews in the future. And remember, earbuds in, stay tingly, and enjoy. For more on the Daddy Dom Podcast, subscribe to patreon.com/daddydompodcast and all the tingles at patreon.com/inmyhandsaudio. I'll see you next week, right here on Daddy's lap. Be a good girl.